702.
The Friday Mix. Food.
We're talking food and really interested to hear the thoughts of my guest, Paulo Santo. He is the MD, an MD and senior partner at Aurum. He's also a chef himself with an incredible history. And as far as the restaurants he's worked at is concerned, a former guest on this show, in fact, when we talk food on Fridays. But this time around, it's really about the business of food and the trends that we are confronted with at the moment. And this Friday food feature is brought to you by the Standard Bank Virtual Jazz Festival. Paulo, thank you for your time today. No doubt you've been sitting back observing what's happening in the sector. Finally, restaurants will be able to trade again, sit down restaurants, you know, you'll be able to open your doors and allow people to come and dine. Not quite there yet, but we're almost there. But things have changed quite a lot and probably in an irreversible kind of way. What do you think of how restaurants are going to be affected moving forward post the pandemic?
Well, that's a mouthful. Good afternoon, Azania, and good afternoon to my two listeners. Happy birthday for Sunday. Indeed, haven't quite been sitting back. We've been in the kitchens and we've been at it. We've had to change the game as the landscape has sort of given us an opportunity to. And it certainly is a whole new playing field and a whole new ball game for us as restaurateurs and hotels and little independent food and beverage operators. It's taken a lot of fresh thinking. It's given us a new perspective on what our businesses are perceived to be and you know, tested our business cases and our business plans quite significantly. Mm-hmm. And I know it's the buzzword, but we've all had to pivot and find new ways to not just keep the cash coming through the door, but to think forward and understand what our industry is going to look like post-COVID
yes.
or post-lockdown.
And what are we starting to see? Because we're going into, we have the reality of social distancing, but this is a social-centric environment. So how do we restaurant in this sort of future?
I think what we've all gotten rather good at is finding exciting and applicable ways to get our product to the people. By no means was Aurum ever intended to be a takeaway restaurant, and I wouldn't say we're anywhere near the experts in the game, but we've made the Aurum experience one that people can enjoy at home. So I think takeaways are here to stay. Takeaway is perhaps the wrong name. It's got to be given a new title. An in-home experience is exciting because we have the opportunity to do what we do and share our expertise. But at the same time, it's daunting because you're not in the restaurant. We can't gauge your reaction. We can't quickly fix a mistake. We're laid bare, and chefs are having to really put their best on the, not on the plate, but in the cardboard box. And the stakes are high.
And when we think of the ripples that this will have, because you have other suppliers, you have farmers, their producers, their artisans, for instance, who help to make the product that you put out as good quality as possible. What are those ripples to those that provide the restaurant industry?
I hate to say it, but I think they're almost worse affected than we are. The chain is long, and A restaurant are nothing without their suppliers and their producers. And I think now is the time, you know, although the movement's been there forever, now is the time to really understand that we are nothing without our farmers, without our producers, without the, you know, the middlemen that slave away and get the best possible quality product into our restaurant kitchens so we can do what we do with it. It's more important now than ever to look inward. No one's going to want to give up on the Parma ham and the beautiful European olive oils, but we've been doing what we do so well for so long now. It's time that we showcase that almost at a 99% level. So shopping local, sourcing local, and looking inward and keeping it within our borders is more important now than ever, I believe.
Yes, and hopefully that will be a differentiator to this in-home dining. As you said, it's not takeaways. It's a different kind of experience that you want to give to your patrons, and potentially the quality of the produce can be a differentiator to the rest of the takeaway sort of category, if we can put it that way.
Indeed, we can't all fall into the same heap. We have a slice of our pie, and we'd like to think that our pie is slightly different to perhaps a national brand or an international brand that we all enjoy mm-hmm. from time to time. I think one thing that lockdown has taught us is that cooking at home still trumps the most, and perhaps people have become a little bit more conscious of what they're not just putting into their bellies, but where they're applying their spend. Belts have had to be tightened. I don't expect, after the minister's announcement later this afternoon, I don't expect people to come rushing in their numbers back to restaurants. There's still a lot of trepidation. We still need to figure out how to do it, not just when. So mm-hmm. as much as we want to open our doors, we know that we have a heck of a responsibility. As you said, it's a social environment. And we've got to play our part. We've got to play our role. We've got to keep everybody safe.
Yeah. And how is that role evolving? You know, the responsibility of chefs and restaurants in a time of hunger, in a time of the sort of difficulties that we are seeing, and also just potentially the changing role of the chef.
I chatted to a few colleagues earlier, and we debated this. Chefs and restaurateurs get their biggest kick out of providing the paying customer with a fantastic meal and a wonderful, a beautifully selected bottle of wine, and just seeing that joy in being nourished and enjoying the space. Having that taken away from us, we've realized that on the opposite end of the spectrum, there are people that could never afford to eat in a restaurant, and fundamentally, hunger is top of the agenda daily. At Aurum, with the limited budget that we had, we launched something called the Super Soup Drive earlier this month, and we've reached out to feed a beautifully made bowl of soup and some homemade bread to as many people as we can on a daily basis. Globally, there's been examples of top restaurants, Michelin-starred restaurants, that have either turned into kitchens or have changed their entire model to feed those in need. And I think we have this responsibility. If we can't, if we can't have people sitting in our restaurants, but we have the hands and we have the tools, and in limited supply we have the materials, it's absolutely our responsibility to be feeding those that need it most.
Yeah. Listen, Paolo, thank you for your thoughts. We'll look out for that announcement, of course, today with keen interest, and hoping that we as a community play our part in ensuring that restaurants continue, because they add so much to the economy, to the essence, to the life of a city. And of course, as social beings, this is where we do our socializing. And so it's in all our interest, in fact, to see restaurants come through what is a hugely challenging period in humanity's history. Thank you, Paolo.
Thank you, Lasagna. Thanks so much for the platform and for what you've done for us in this period too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That's senior partner, MD of Aurum, a new restaurant. They had just started churning and doing their thing, getting into a solid rhythm, and then the lockdown hit. But of course, they are casting their mind and eyes to the future, which they will undoubtedly be a part of.